If you're interested in any of those titles, you can see my wife. We have several. Two are Schofield Study Leaflets. Now, what that is years ago, C.I. Schofield, the editor of the Schofield Bible, came up with a Bible study, 80 different topics, and put them into leaflet forms years ago, and they found a pristine copy of those in a pastor's study that went on to be with the Lord, and they were able to copy and make them into these books. One set is like a study book for a person, 80 different topics, like I said. The man who runs our press for the last 26, 27 years, Brother Berg, said that if you went through that book and looked up all the verses, you'd see more scripture than you would in Bible college. Isn't that amazing? And the one that is a student book is there. And then we have one that has a picture of a laptop on it. In the back is a CD with permission to make as many copies as you like. It'd be great for a teenage Bible study, a Bible institute, or anything like that. So we have those there. Then some other things. We have Fanny Crosby. You remember her, wrote many of the hymns we sing. She had her autobiography we have back there. We have the book Trail of Blood that we reformatted, made it easier to read. First published in 1930, written by J.M. Carroll. And it, if you want to know how everybody got to be what they are, that's the book to read because it's simple and concise. I have some Baptist history books put you to sleep. Amen? This one won't. It's easy to read, and we have that copy there as well. And some other titles there if you're interested in them. Jonathan Goforth, I'll admit he wasn't a Baptist, but years and years ago in the 1800s, he preached his last message testifying of how God opened Korea and China to the gospel. And it's an amazing story to read. That's his last message he preached. We have that pamphlet back there and several other titles. Brother Jim says you could only buy one book a year. You ought to buy the book called Consecration, written by Herbert Brook, published in 1895. And it's a tremendous, tremendous book on consecration, something that has been lost in 21st century America. Amen? So we're happy to be with you today. Glad to see the rain. Amen? Shower is a blessing. It is really a blessing. Now, y'all have a church right here next to the lake. God wouldn't let me have that. Amen? You know I'd probably have a dock with a boat named Visitation and be more prone to go out on it than do what I'm supposed to do. So he had me out in the dry land. Amen? But always in the 450 churches my wife has visited, the vast majority are small churches. And I want to tell you, in our experience, there are many good churches still out there. Good preachers just trying to do a work for God. Amen? And I've been encouraged by that. You say, are there any of the other kind? Yeah, but we don't worry about those. We'll thank God for the good ones. Amen? And been able to have a real blessing in taking the message of Victory Baptist Press to many different places. We do need your prayers. If you pray for us, traveling can be a dangerous thing these days. Amen? So get a prayer card and keep us in your prayers. We'd sure appreciate that very much. Well, if you have your Bible with you, turn with me to 2 Samuel 23. 2 Samuel chapter number 23. I'm going to begin reading here in verse number 8, 2 Samuel 23. You're going to notice here the list of David's mighty men. Now, I'm not going to read through all of them, but I do want to kind of center on one, and we'll get down to that. But 2 Samuel 23, beginning in verse number 8. The Bible says, "These be the names of the mighty men whom David had, the Techmanite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. His name was Adino, the Esnite. He lifted up a spear against 800 whom he slew at one time." Is that amazing or what? 800 men he killed at once. Amen? Amen. Whoever said being God's man makes you a sissy. That's crazy. Amen? Look at verse 9. "And after him was Eleazar the son of Dodo and Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together in battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave to the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil." Can you imagine wielding that sword so much that his hand actually froze in place? He could not drop that sword. Isn't that an amazing thing? Then in verse number 11, And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, a Harite. And the Philistines were gathered together in a troop where was a place of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. This really struck me when I read that. Because how important is a patch of lentils? It's just a little piece of ground. Amen? I mean, if he would have vacated that piece of ground, nobody would have thought anything. He wasn't trying to defend the lentils. Amen? Rather, he stood his ground when all the rest of the Israelites ran away. Amen? You see, he had a portion of ground that God put in his responsibility. And he stood his ground and God wrought a great victory. Amen? You and I have got a portion of ground that God has given to us. Amen?
Amen?
And he demands that we stand in the battle and defend that piece of ground. See, the battle of life is on. I'm sure you see that today. Amen? This is probably going to be the most cataclysmic election any Christians have ever been involved in the United States of America. Amen? But that's okay. That just means Jesus. God's not surprised. He's not upset. Amen? We're to stand our ground. I understand that. The Lord has set the tone for this warfare. Remember what he said in 2 Timothy 2, verses 3 through 7, when he said this, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." See, if you're saved today, you're a soldier. Amen? "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." See, before you can defend the lentil patch, you must be saved. If you're here today and you're not saved, I have good news for you. You can be. You know what repentance is? It's a change of mind. Amen? And what it does is Scripture changes your mind about yourself. Instead of seeing yourself as all right, you see yourself in God's light as one who has offended a holy God. Amen?
Amen?
That's the first step in salvation. You must know you're lost. Amen? But when you get saved, God gives you a little patch, a lentil patch to protect. Amen? That's why he says in 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Your lentil patch is a circle drawn around yourself. You say, "Well, that's good. That means that's my ground to defend." Yes, it is. But you know where your heart is?
Amen.
"As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." It's not here. It's here. The lentil patch you and I have been given to defend is here. Our mind. "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." What goes through your mind? How do you think in your mind? Do you laugh at the things of God? Do you think lightly upon them? Things like attendance and Bible reading and prayer seem kind of silly to you. Well, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. They're spiritually discerned. In fact, they're foolishness to a natural man. Amen? So God has given you the ability to tell who you are by that. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Amen? Romans chapter 12. Now, as a representative of a Bible printing ministry, we're certainly going to get to that. And this will have to do with the Bible, because that's kind of what God has given me to do. He's kind of given me a little tunnel vision. Preach on the Word of God. Now, I believe this. I believe this is the inspired Word of God.
Amen.
The miracle you saw in that DVD is when plain paper went through that press and became the inerrant, God-breathed Word of God. That's a miracle.
Amen.
Isn't it? That's a miracle. And that's why it says the entrance of His Word giveth light. The key to that is the word entrance. You know, as a pastor over all those years, I knocked on a lot of doors, talked to a lot of people. I could tell when someone was open to what I was saying or they were just being kind. And most people were kind. Would let me go through what I was going to say. So what'd you do then? Well, my great goal for them was to get a John Romans in their house. If they would take a gospel tract or a John Romans, and I knew they had an opportunity, should the trouble arise, to be able to have a source to go to hear the gospel. Amen? But to those who were open, I knew they were receiving what I said. Now, I didn't necessarily get saved, but you know the first criteria that God has given to any man is to receive the Word of God.
Amen.
Romans 12, the Bible says in verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know how you're going to defend that lentil patch? By renewing your mind. Now, how do you do that? Well, I don't know if you remember several years ago when computers first came out. You didn't just go down to Best Buy and get one or to some Radio Shack or something. Somebody built them for you. And I had a man that was kind of savvy on computers, and he put me together a computer for me. Ran slow as molasses. Amen? But every now and then it even gets slower, and they said, here's what you have to do. I called him, what's the problem here? He said, well, you have to defrag it. What? Yeah, defrag it. Okay, what do I do? He told me. And I push a button, up comes this screen, and it had all these colored squares spread all over the place, all mixed up. He says, there's your problem. The computer takes a program off the hard drive and puts it back in a different spot. And then they get all scattered out, so when you want that program next, it's got to go all over the place to get it. You have to defrag it, put it back in order. So you push that button, and for the next 2 hours, you sit there and watch these dumb colored squares going back and forth and back and forth. Amen? You remember that? Now they must do it automatically now, because it never tells me to. Amen? But it made the computer faster. Well, in essence, what God is saying in Romans 12 is you need to defrag your brain. This world has scattered our brains. Amen? It's got us involved and worried about so many things. Amen? I've never seen a day, I really have never seen a day when men are given over to such silly things. Amen? I saw that they had some kind of big service in Buffalo for those who were died because of opioids. And they're saying now that they overprescribe these opioids to people, and they're getting hooked on this and they get hooked on that. You've never seen a day when we have so much information and yet people live in the flesh so violently. You know, I remember my family when I was a kid. We weren't Christians, you know, and we did a lot of things. And I remember them, my parents as 40 and 50 years old, and he'd work and vacations, and They weren't saved people, so they were involved in a little alcohol and things like that. And I remember thinking back now on that, in my age, thinking about now. Here's what I'm thinking. Do you realize my brother-in-law just passed away and recently, and I just happened to think, do you know how frail life is? Amen? Just talking to a man about somebody committed suicide. They say 20 soldiers, veterans commit suicide every day. Why do they do that? Amen? See, life is so fragile, but by the time you lose it, it's too late.
Yeah.
Amen? See, God has given you a mind to protect as a Christian. And you and I have got to have a way to defrag our mind, to get our mind back in the line, our thinking in line with the things of God. There's so many temptations out there that turn our heads. Amen? I mean, you got so much media now and internet and cell phones and all those things that people are just diluted today. And something has to help us every day get our minds back on the things of God. Amen? That is to get our sound mind going. Not only that, but it's a great day of things like fear. Amen? My goodness, I've never seen a day of such fear and mental problems and all those things. We have more medication now than ever, and we're the sickest people on the face of the earth. Amen? There's a battleground that you and I are in we have to protect, and it is our mind. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 with me, if you would, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 5. 1 Corinthians 10. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, beginning in verse number 5. Notice this with me. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 5, the Bible says, "But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." Now these things are our examples. Who's he talking about? He's talking about the Jews traveling through that land, had an opportunity to go into promised land and did not do it for fear. Amen? "To the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." Does that sound like today? Man, football's ready to start and people are goofy, aren't they? Amen? People are goofy when it comes to that. Football, wonderful. Did you realize whoever won last year, that's over? As soon as the season starts, their reign is over. They're done. Now you have to do it all over again. Baseball, same. All those sports, amen? There's nothing wrong with sport itself. It's just that people have replaced a lot of things with that. We passed a golf course on the way here, and I found out they're just like Baptists. It rained, and they couldn't go golfing. I suppose if it's cold, they can't go. Amen? If it snows, it'd be too much, certainly, for them, too. "Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them also committed and fell in one day, 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world have come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." You see, the battle has taken place long before you came on the scene. The devil, the god of this world, has set up a system to draw you and I away. If he can't have your soul, he's going to have your commitment. Amen? And I dare say, anytime you're in a church and the pastor's teaching or preaching, someday he's going to offend you. Amen? If you don't get offended sometime, he's not doing his job. Amen? So how do you handle it when you get offended? Well, if you're a normal Baptist, you suck your thumb and call somebody on the phone and complain to them about it. No, the best way to do it is get alone with God and pray for him and ask God to turn the screws on his heart. Doesn't that make sense? Here we are, God's people with the power of God in our prayer, and yet we try to do things so many other ways than what God would have us to do. Amen? 1 Corinthians 8:2, the Bible says, "If any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know." See, as we grow in our salvation, we often become complacent in the assessment of our thoughts as to our mindset and spiritual things. We excuse ourselves. Amen? The Bible assures us that, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out," in Romans 11:33. See, our thoughts are an indication of our current condition. Amen? Now, I'm sure, like any human being, thoughts go through your mind that sometimes shock you. If you were saved later in life, there are some things you replay in your mind that you would just soon not think of, and they're there. So I'm not talking about that, amen? It's not the devil calling up things to bother us. That does happen, amen? But this is a way for you and I to judge our state by our own thoughts. Mark 7:21-23, the Bible says, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, and even I, blasphemy, pride, foolishness." All these things come from within and defile the man. Amen? Are you ever shocked to hear some of the things on the news that take place? How could people treat other people that way? Well, because they're sinners, that's why. Amen? Why would the groups of people watch someone being hurt in a big town and not call the police, but rather watch and see what happens? Because people are sinners, that's all. Amen? We have to acknowledge to the Lord the truth from within. That's why it says in Romans 2, verse 13, "For not the hearers of the law are justified before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. See, what bears testimony of what's in our heart is our conscience. The conscience is a gift from God. Amen? The conscience knows what we ought to do and smites us when we do what we ought not to do. Amen? But a conscience won't do it enough. There's got to be something else there to help you get your mind right. Amen? The means of securing our cleansing, of course, is the blood of Jesus Christ. That was the payment that was made. Hebrews 9:14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? That made it possible. Amen? But there's another means that God uses to be able to clear our hearts. Hebrews 10:19-22, the Bible says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. What he's saying is, be right. Amen? We will always face the need to examine ourselves and maintain a pure motives in this battle. Amen? There is a means by which we can maintain a proper thought life. Romans 12:2, there as we read, he said, be not conformed to this world, be transformed by that renewing of your mind. It's just a little verse, but that sure does pack a wallop, doesn't it? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And when you get saved, your sins are covered. They're gone. Amen? You have everlasting life. So this is talking about your time from salvation till you leave this body. Amen? And this body is, you still retain a sin nature. Though you have the Holy Spirit inside that quickens your spirit, you still have the old man that you're battling with. Amen? But the renewal of one's mind is a great truth. Amen? But if God only said that and didn't tell us how to do it, it'd only be so much hot air. Which, of course, is not. Amen? Here's what it is. Ephesians 5 and verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it, talking about the church, by the washing of water by the word. As a Christian, if you neglect your Bible, you are committing spiritual suicide. You think you can't sin? You are mistaken. Amen? God gave you a Bible. Why? You need it. You desperately need it. That's why the devil fights it so much. Amen? Because the Bible is the key. You have the Holy Spirit on the inside. I like to explain it this way. Holy Spirit's the workman, and his toolbox is the Word of God. He, by God's design, cannot accomplish the task God has given him to do, God the Holy Spirit, without the Word of God. That's God's design. Amen? The Holy Spirit takes the Word of God. Listen, when I was a truck driver and I started reading those gospel tracts, when I received those as truth, and I did, I never discounted those. Amen? The Holy Spirit took that toolbox, the Word of God, and produced something in me. It's called faith. Faith showed me I was a sinner. I had no problem admitting that. I'm a sinner. I'm in need. And this is over a year and a half span, so I'm giving you a shortened version. But he also, after reading and hearing the preaching of God's Word, showed me that Christ was the Savior. And I called upon him in simple faith and was saved. Why? Because he enabled me through his Word to do and make a spiritual decision, not a physical. You never decided to get saved. God came for you. You decided to receive or reject the Word. And as a Christian, you do the same thing. You'll never know the blessedness of God's perfect will if you do not read your Bible. And believe me, He has a perfect will for your life. And it's the best joy you could ever have to fulfill that will. Amen? Ephesians 4:22 begins saying that you put off concerning a former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. How? through His Word, amen, you are able to be able to renew the spirit of your mind by reading and studying God's Word. Colossians 1:21, the Bible says, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable, unreprovable in His sight, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard." Amen. "And which was preached to every creature which is under heaven." If you're here today and you say you're saved, then you need to be faithful to your Bible. I knew a man when I was part of a track printing ministry for a couple of years. I knew a man in that ministry when he got saved. He was sick in his 60s, and he was from North Dakota, or South Dakota. But he couldn't read. He could train those big draft horses, was a very brilliant man, could not read. God gave him the ability to read single-syllable words in the Bible. He couldn't read one word of the paper, but he could read single-syllable words in the Bible. And at that time, he was one of the greatest Christians I knew. Had a heart for God, a tender heart. So how'd that happen? Because the Holy Ghost can do more with single-syllable words in His hand than what the world can do with all their PhDs and their foolishness. Amen? That's why your Bible is so very important. Don't neglect it. Here's another reason. 6,000 people groups on the face of this earth don't have one word of Scripture in their language. If they would happen to get saved, how do they grow? How do they find God's perfect will for their life? How do they grow into that perfect will and fulfill God's call in their life so they can be happy and well-adjusted? How do they do it? Well, if they don't have a Bible, they can't. Amen? Those folks in some of those churches in Ecuador and places like that that had no Bible, there's some churches where they'll take and break the binding on a Bible, and people will come to church and they'll pass out a page, and then they'll bring it back the next week and they'll change it for the next page. And that's how they can read their Bible, the only way they can do it. But that's fine. You and I live in a world where we have several copies of good Bibles sitting at the house, and if they collect dust, God help us. Amen. After all that God paid to get us saved and all He's done to help us, and we see America falling by the wayside and losing its identity as a Christian nation, if it ever had one. Amen? How'd that happen so quickly? I remember when I was a boy, a teenager, and of course, again, I wasn't saved until I was in my late 20s. When I was a teenager, I'd hang around with fellas and I'd use some words I shouldn't have used, of course. Amen? But I'd never use them in front of ladies or girls at all. Amen? Now it's the girls and ladies using them in Walmart. How'd we fall so far in just 30, 40 years? Amen? Till today, vulgar seems to be the key to sell a television program and a commercial. Amen? How'd we get to the point where vulgar does not put a sour taste in the mouth of people, especially Christians? We did it because we've neglected this book. Now, I'm not saying you have, amen. I'm saying because many have neglected this book. So when you talk about witnessing, you know what you're doing? You're putting out this book. Now, think of that now. With a ministry like ours then, here we are with a burden to print scriptures and get them out into the hands of missionaries and churches to be able to sow the seed in their community and see souls saved. Amen? Well, we need your prayers because the devil hates printing Bibles. Amen? But yet it's the most important thing there could be. I believe the home of missions is the local church. But the foundation of missions is the Word of God. Amen? You send a missionary to the field without the Word of God, their hands are tied. They'll never accomplish the task God called them to. Amen? They must have seed to sow to be able to see a harvest. So, pray for us. Amen? Do what you can. You say, "Oh, my little bit won't matter." Sure it will. Amen? You have no idea who the next person to get saved, what they're going to do. And it might be from the the enabling you gave us to be able to get the Word of God out. Amen? And if you're not saved here today, I have good news for you. I can't guarantee you'll make it to the street before you drop over. That wasn't the good news, by the way. The good news is the Lord loves you. And Christ died for you. And if you'll receive Him as your Savior, He'll save your soul. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love You and thank You for the opportunity to be here. This good church, a dear preacher. God bless now. As He comes to close the service, have Your will and Your way. We'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Preacher?
Let's stand for invitation 308 in our songbooks. I surrender all. If you're needing enough salvation today, you can have that, as the preacher said, before you leave this building. We need to have surrender. I appreciate again that we've had a week of revival services. God still calls on us to do more. And so let's go ahead and surrender all. As we sing the hymn, if you need to come to an old-fashioned altar, you do that. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give.